The content of this program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. A warm hello to all our listeners, and welcome to today's program. This is Alida Khan from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from multiple sources, including teeninc.com, and from Yahoo's Internet Science Facts, and from 17 Magazine's December 2016 edition, and from Marie Claire. So let us begin today. Let us first thank that the Kiwanis Foundation, because today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation, and they can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. And so let's begin today with reading from Marie Claire magazine from the September 2016 edition. And the article is on today's trend towards organic cosmetics. Just as the recycling and farm-to-table movements are spreading across the planet, savvy beauty junkies from Los Angeles to Seoul are demanding natural and organic ingredients in their products. Today, more and more cosmetic companies are talking about sustainability too, whereas none of this existed 5 years ago, says Dominique Roques, head of natural sourcing at Fragrance House in Firmenich, which is behind hits like Ralph Lauren's Bromance and Giorgio Armani's Acqua di Gio. It's the consumers who have changed everything, and their pressure is going to drive the game. The company recently announced that it intends to reduce its environmental footprint by curbing waste generation and carbon dioxide emissions. Already, home products, skincare, and makeup are facing scrutiny from newly globalized, fiercely educated consumers. And the next area of focus is fragrance, a world where the oud in your $200 perfume may have a higher true cost, namely the potential extinction of a major tree species in the next decade. Obviously, no woman wants that to happen, but when it comes to scent making, she just may not know any better. Oud, for example, is made with the resin of the agar tree, and the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, now listed as a potentially threatened tree species, in part because it's been exploited by the perfume business. There are no longer massive quantities of good quality, sustainably resourced oud available, says Roques, who adds that the going rate for a kilo of the stuff is $25,000. Scarcity aside, there are also geopolitical factors at play. Frankincense comes from Somaliland, Roques explains. No one can go there to inspect, so we can't be sure the product is sustainably sourced. Likewise, access to responsibly harvested Peru balsam, a vanilla-like oil used in scent making, is a serious challenge. The ingredients comes from a tree that's mainly grown in war-torn El Salvador, Roque says. Quite simply, when it comes to fragrances, each made of various ingredients derived from around the world, it can be insanely complicated to track sustainability. Fortunately, perfume powerhouses have made some impressive strides. Robertette, which works with beauty brands like Fresh and Byredo, is championing a program called Seed to Scent that involves the company in every step of the natural ingredient sourcing process, from procuring the farmland and hiring the workers to harvesting and processing the crops. The initiative has been a particular success with sandalwood, which has historically come from India, a rarely policed market that was lucrative for smugglers, says Arnaud Adrian, Robertette's vice president of sales. In 2010, the perfume house acquired a farm in New Caledonia, a French territory in the South Pacific, to plant its own sandalwood trees. We signed an agreement with a local tribe so we could have a sustainable plantation where we're supervised by the Forest Stewardship Council and maintain a stable source of quality natural oil, Adrian says. Similarly, Fragrance House Simrise, producer of perfumes like Maud Noir by Marc Jacobs and Helmut Lang Eau de Parfum, has launched programs championing biodiversity, reforestation, and sustainable farming practices in Madagascar and the Amazon. It isn't enough to assist the farmers and the community, notes Anne Cabotin, vice president of the Scent and Care Division at Symrise, who says they become truly involved in the process of training the farmers and working on financing issues and health insurance. Firmenich even overhaul the way it assesses natural ingredients with the 2010 launch of its Ingredients Index, which operates as a sustainability scorecard for 400 of the company's top ingredients. This way, a perfumer there can easily choose the most sustainable ingredients when composing a fragrance. On the indie level, a fresh wave of niche labels is putting sustainability first. Photographer Russell James' fragrance line, Raw Spirit, is mentored by the Clinton Global Initiative on Sustainable Sourcing. Juniper Ridge utilizes wildcraft methods, which involve harvesting flowers, plants, and bark along trails that are monitored annually for regrowth. Supermodel Helena Christensen worked with perfume house Strangelove New York City to source sustainable oud from Borneo for her Dead of Night perfume. The big guns are walking the walk too. Thierry Mugler's latest creation, Angel Muse, features aesthetically sourced organic vetiver from Haiti. But Cabotin points out that as much as using responsibly farmed natural ingredients is part of a successful sustainability strategy, so is developing synthetically created ingredients that mimic natural scents. Synthetics may seem anathema to the eco-minded customer, but those created with green chemistry can actually be some of the eco-friendliest fragrance ingredients of all, Cabotin says. For example, Symrise's production of synthetic menthol, an ingredient that used to be extracted from mint oil, produces absolutely zero waste. Meanwhile, the new generation of high-tech, so-called nature-identical synthetics, like Nature Print Peony by Firmenich, used in Penhaligon's Pionev, is also a substitute for rare or hard-to-extract ingredients. Indeed, some young brands like Eccentric molecules are 100% synthetic, partly because of sustainability concerns. Many companies are also using green chemistry and renewable resources to develop completely original fragrance notes. We recently launched Tiramisone, a fruity note derived from sugarcane, which can be up to 100% renewable, says Cabotin. Givaldan has created Akigela Wood, a woody amber note developed in a lab and now used in Miu Miu's eponymous new perfume. Perhaps the best part of this burgeoning sustainability movement, beauty companies aren't just touting their efforts, but also acting on them. There is truly change happening, Roque said. What is extremely important now for sustainability is transparency. People are sick and tired of not knowing what's in their bottle. And now from Teen Inc. online magazine, we have the following opinion article entitled Public Education, the Key to America's Success, submitted by Marker of Chicago, Illinois. Marker writes, many people don't realize it, but every day as the world is progressing, America is not. I don't mean we aren't selling cars, producing jobs, or selling homes. I mean that we aren't securing our future. I am talking about our future workforce, the kids in our public schools right now. It is crucial that America, despite our crumbling economy and enormous deficit, invests heavily in our public education system to ensure future success. A strengthened U.S. public education system would allow Americans to compete worldwide for jobs and produce a greater number of Americans with advanced skill sets. This would increase the number of self-sufficient Americans and reduce the number of Americans on welfare, Medicaid, or in our prisons. As I said before, America needs to develop more educated, self-sufficient citizens. Currently, Japan, China, and Russia are outperforming us in test scores and in overall education. These countries are producing real thinkers. They are developing people that are often outsmarting us when we apply for jobs and are designing new technologies we only dream about. The truth is our public schools aren't creating enough thinkers. In fact, America's lackluster commitment to quality education may be leading many Americans to underestimate the true value of education. In many other countries, education and advanced degrees aren't highly prized, and people work extremely hard to develop and advance the level of their education. Unfortunately, in America, many students give up on their education, don't see the value in pursuing advanced degrees, and often would prefer to live in their parents' home than go to find jobs and support themselves. There is hope, though. If public schools can shape up, America could protect our citizens from losing jobs to foreign countries. If we produce more advanced thinkers, in turn, we will start winning jobs that normally would be lost to other countries competing against us in the global economy. We all live in a global economy. You may be applying for a job in Boston, but competing against someone from Beijing. Investing in public education will produce a large amount of American thinkers. These people will be self-sufficient individuals who will be able to compete globally and support themselves no matter where they are. This in itself would change our economy. Producing more Americans that are self-sufficient will also change where taxpayers' money goes, as it no longer would need to be spent on federal programs to assist the poor or uneducated. There is a saying, if you give a man a fish, you will feed him for a day, but if you teach a man to fish, you will feed him for a lifetime. This is similar for the public school system. If America produces self-sufficient, more educated individuals, America could dramatically affect the number of people committing crimes and inhabiting our prisons. People often resort to crime to support their own needs or the needs of their families because they have no other means by which to support themselves. Having more responsible, dependable, and smarter people would also reduce the number of Americans on welfare and Medicaid, as more educated people would have secure jobs that not only paid them a good salary but also offered them health care benefits. Many Americans are struggling to compete in the global economy, mostly because the quality of education they are getting is not matching up to what other countries offer. If America reinvested in public schools, we would produce a workforce of self-sufficient Americans who would be able to compete easily in the global economy. Having more self-sufficient Americans would solve many problems our country faces today. A thriving public education system would create Americans who don't have to rely on federal programs or crime to get by. According to the Chicago Tribune, in President Obama's budget plan, the budget notes that a dollar in investment in education has been shown to yield social and economic benefits of $4 to $9. This proves that there truly is no better investment than the one we make to our public education system. If America turns around the path they are going down now, America could become the leader in education, but America is going to need help from everybody. Our future depends upon a commitment or a recommitment to public education. In the long run, we all will benefit when everyone receives a high-quality education. I urge my fellow Americans to communicate their demands for more public education funding to their legislators today. We literally cannot afford to wait. And now, from 17 Magazine, December 2016 edition, from the Body Health section, here is advice to sweat out your blahs. Exercising isn't just about physical health. It's insanely good for your mental game, too. If you're feeling down, these are the best moves to boost your mood. And this has been written by Jennifer Savin. Stressed? Try boxing. Why? Because it's possible to knock out your worries. When you hit a punching bag, it doesn't only feel good, it releases stress and tension from your body, says Robert Andrews, founder of the Institute of Sports Performance in Houston, Texas. He helped Simone Biles mentally prep for the Olympics. Every time your fist lands on the bag, visualize what's bothering you and feel your muscles loosen up even faster. Lonely? Try group sports. Why? Team activities are win-win. Not only are they a perfect place to make friends, but they also foster the development of leadership skills. Andrew says, feeling nervous? Even if you aren't, the next Alex Morgan, go for it. Being the new girl may work to your advantage. The person who offers you pointers could become a new best friend. If joining the varsity team really isn't your thing, start a sports focused club for fun. Kickball, anyone? Insecure? Try resistance training. Why? How can you not feel self-assured when you're lifting weights like a badass? But the real reason this works, according to Andrews, is that mastering a skill will amp up your swagger. This type of exercise also helps build self-esteem because you can see your physical progress. As your body gets stronger, so will your spirit. Depressed? Try walking. Why? Any sort of movement is great at assisting with depression because increased blood flow helps get oxygen to your brain. But walking is especially clutch because it requires less stamina. So for those times when you can't even imagine getting out of bed, it feels doable. Andrew says, invite a bestie to tag along or start setting goals like walking farther each week, which will make you feel even better. Anxious? Try yoga. Why? Putting off those positions requires serious focus. That's a good thing. If you're feeling worried because when you're busy trying to nail triangle pose, there's little room for negative thoughts or overthinking, Andrew says. The calming exercise also reduces levels of cortisol and other stress hormones while causing an uptick on the feel-happy hormone serotonin. Hello, chill. And now let's turn to Yahoo's Internet Science Facts. And here is a fascinating article describing a few of the many special contributions that the ancient Egyptians provided to the world. The article is entitled 10 Fascinating Facts About Hygiene in Ancient Egypt. Research of ancient civilization evidently demonstrates that the Egyptians were well ahead of their time. The following cases not only demonstrate the ingenious innovations of a primordial society, including the breath mint, but their remarkably immaculate and admirable hygiene. Hezi Rey is credited as being the world's first dentist, serving under Pharaoh Djoser around 1600 BC during the Third Dynasty of Egypt. However, the first evidence of dentistry dates back to 3000 BC with the Edwin Smith Surgical Papyrus, a manual with detailed instructions on how to cure wounds in the mouth. So here we begin with the breath mint. It was during this time that the dawn of minor dental surgery was performed, slowly paving a way to more complex procedures such as pulling teeth and drilling out cavities. For those whose breath smelled as bad as the armpits of the lower class, honey was combined with boiled herbs and spices such as cinnamon and myrrh to form pellets which were then used as breath mints. 2. Vermin. The Egyptians had their share of struggles when it came to warding off vermin and parasites. In an effort to rid themselves of head lice, men, women, and children would shave their heads, while priests would shave their entire body every other day, so that no lice or any other foul thing may come to be upon them while they minister to the gods. While shaving would be temporarily effective, other remedies pertaining to repellents were questionable. For instance, a warm potion of date meal and water was believed to drive away fleas and lice. To keep mice from clothing, cat's fat would be smeared on everything possible. One formula that perhaps was of value was sprinkling a solution of natron water containing salt in one's home to eliminate and repel fleas. 3. Circumcision. While anthropologists disagree on the origins of circumcision, it is certain that the ritual was practiced in Egypt as far back as 4000 BC. Mass circumcision ceremonies would take place primarily in the upper classes, being recognized as both a puberty rite as well as for the sake of cleanliness. Although this comes as no surprise, given that circumcision has been practiced by various religions spanning thousands of years, what is surprising is that some anthropologists argue that the procedure arose as a mark of defilement or slavery. In fact, captured warriors in ancient Egypt suffered amputation of digits as well as castration. However, such mutilation would often result in death. Therefore, slaves would be forced to undergo circumcision, given that the procedure was viewed as a sufficiently humiliating compromise. 4. Deodorant. It's not hard to imagine that anyone living prior to the 20th century was a tad malodorous, and to date, the struggle continues for many. The Egyptians, who are often credited for developing the first deodorant, tried to find a respite from their pungent odors with the help of a variety of spices, such as citrus and cinnamon. By mixing and grounding numerous fragrances, including the flowering overgreen shrubs of a carob tree, they were able to mold natural deodorant pellets that they stored in their armpits. In addition, they shaved their underarm hair upon realizing that it decreased their harsh scent. The ancient Greeks are said to have copied the Egyptians' underarm application of perfume, but it would not be until the late 18th century when sweat glands were discovered that the link between body odor and perspiration was understood. 5. Ancient recipes. 2,000 years before Hesiod was credited as being the world's first dentist, the Egyptians, as well as the Babylonians, were making their own version of a toothbrush by fraying the ends of twigs. These toothsticks were discovered in tombs inside the mummified remains of their owners dating back to 3,500 BC. What's even more astonishing is that 1,500 years prior to this, Egyptians were using a paste to clean their teeth. In the National Library in Vienna, Austria, lies a collection of papyrus documents containing the world's oldest known recipe for toothpaste. The formula, which consists of dried iris flower, salt, pepper and mint, are described as being ahead of its time, given that iris is an effective agent against gum disease. Surprisingly, researchers have only recently discovered iris's beneficial properties, validating the innovative brilliance of the ancient Egyptians. 6. The tombs. The attention the Egyptians devoted to their appearance is evident from the contents of their tombs. Dating as far back as the Old Kingdom to the late period, hair implements as well as entire cosmetic sets were buried with their rightful owner as if to serve a purpose in the afterlife. Such accessories, for example, included ornate hairpins and wide tooth combs made of ivory and silver. Bronze tweezers to shape the eyebrows and gold razors were also found in abundance. Highly polished copper mirrors with intricate, elegant handles were placed under the heads of the deceased or in front of their face, waiting to be discovered centuries later. 7. Preventative medicine. Preventative medicine was just as important to the Egyptians as every other measure they took to maintain their health and avert the spread of disease. They primarily focused on their diet as a means to improve their well-being. For example, the Egyptians fed their laborers a diet rich in onion, garlic, and radish to secure the production of their magnificent monuments. The benefit is that these vegetables are extremely rich in allicin, allicin, and raphanin, which are powerful antibiotics that aided in the prevention of disease in crowded working conditions. To cure night blindness, doctors fed their patients powdered liver, which is rich in vitamin A, a vital nutrient for vision. 8. Eye makeup. Alluring eye makeup that has become an epitome of ancient Egyptian glamour served more of a purpose than sheer vanity. Upon analyzing 52 samples from makeup containers preserved in the Louvre Museum, scientists found that much of the lead-based substances used in Egyptian cosmetics boosted nitric oxide by up to 240% in cultured human skin cells. The importance is that nitric oxide is a key signaling agent in the body, enhancing the immune system to help fight disease. This is of particular importance in tropical marshy areas such as the Nile, where eye infections ran rampant. Researchers noted that two of the compounds recently discovered do not occur naturally. The Egyptians deliberately synthesized and used particular eye cosmetics to help prevent or treat diseases of the eye. 9. Prescriptions and medical knowledge. According to the Eber's Medical Papyrus, which dates back to 1500 BC, the Egyptians formed a soap-like material using alkaline salts in addition to vegetable and animal fats. This substance was not only used for washing, but aided in treating skin diseases as well. In fact, the Ebers Papyrus includes 877 prescriptions, as well as the earliest documented awareness of tumors. This comes as no surprise. The medicine of the ancient Egyptians has been regarded as some of the oldest documented medical records to date. As Homer, whom remarked in the Odyssey circa 800 BC, the Egyptians were skilled on medicine more than any other art. 10. Female physicians. In a time where women were highly objectified and limited in terms of freedom of choice, the Egyptians differed from other societies in that the educated were entitled to study any field of their choosing. Female physicians primarily pursued obstetrics, and this field in particular used a variety of concoctions that are not only fascinating but quite puzzling as to how they came about. For instance, the earliest known pregnancy test was derived by the Egyptians using barley and emmer, which is wheat. What they would do is moisten the grains with a sample of urine each day, and if neither the barley nor emmer grew, then that indicated that the woman was not pregnant. The test was quite effective, given that urine of non-pregnant women inhibited the growth, a test validated by modern science. And now, let's continue our interesting facts about human emotions and instincts taken from the website facts.randomhistory.com. In the 17th century, René Descartes viewed the body's emotional apparatus as a largely hydraulic. He believed that when a person felt angry or sad, it was because certain internal valves opened and released such fluids as bile and phlegm. In the English language, there are more than 400 words assigned to emotions and sentiments. A study in the Journal of Consumer Research notes that people who think more abstractly respond better to ads that portray mixed emotions compared to those who think at a more concrete level. A recent study suggests a strong correlation between wearing certain clothes and emotional states. For example, it revealed that women who are depressed or sad are more likely to wear baggy tops, sweatshirts, or jeans. Women who had more positive emotions were more likely to wear a favorite dress or jewelry and generally look nicer. The word emotion is from the Latin emovere, to move out, remove, or agitate, from ex out plus movere, to move. The word instinct is from the Latin instinctus, meaning instigation, impulse, which is related to the Proto-Indian European stig, to prick, stick, or pierce. Some researchers fear that technology, particularly social networking, is creating emotional disconnection rather than connection. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. We hope you are enjoying our revamped format and broader content presentations intended for a blind and print-impaired audience, and we look forward to hearing your remarks. Be sure to listen next time, and remember that this broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. I am Alita Khan, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service and wishing you a lovely, safe and productive week. Until next time, I leave you with this inspirational thought of the day. Sometimes the bad things that happen in our lives put us directly on the path to the best things that will ever happen to us. For comments, questions, or suggestions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. We are so looking forward to hearing from you.